Blog Talk Radio.
Time is on our side by Mark. Having problems with my stuff here, folks, but that was Time is on our side by Blind Divine. If you're just listening, this is the third installment of my show, Taken by Me, The Unexplained. Basically, I'll kind of just get into some more information, more things, what I'm going to talk about. I've had two shows, talk a little bit about me, give you some background so you can find out what's up. Basically, I'm a Bud Hawkins. I'm a ufologist. I'm into this whole thing based on my own experiences, on things that have happened. So I've had missing time experiences. So I've wanted to look into it further. We're going to be talking about USOs. Not what you think I might be talking about. A USO is not the guys like Bob Hope that go over there and sing with the troops. A USO is an unidentified submerged object. I'm going to talk about UFOs. I'm going to get into some Area 51 issues. There's the next president, since we're having a presidential election, I'll bring this up. The next president has to sign a bill that says that keeps everything in Area 51 secretive, so that no matter what happens, if they spend $50 trillion in one day, they don't have to count to nobody for nothing. I'm going to get into the Sag Harbor incident that happened in 1967 on October 4th, and it was a major USO incident that had the Canadian Royal Mounted Police like, okay, what was it? We can't identify it. We can't find it. You know, the USS FDR, they had many USO sightings, and people can't explain it. So it's just one of those things that makes you wonder. I mean, they had a lot of activity on the USS FDR, and it housed some nuclear equipment. And there were many in the National Disclosure Project, which I'll get into later. There are many people that said, you know, I was at a military base that had nuclear weapons, and something flew over it and disabled and disarmed the nuclear warheads. And they're all set up differently so that if one goes down, all 10 of them don't go down. You have one down, and 9 of them are going, and every single one of them was taken down. So it makes you wonder, you know, there's been a lot of hotbed activity that a lot of different people have reiterated revolving around nuclear weapons. We're going to also talk about, you know, as I said, the National Disclosure Project that happened in 2006 and some of my own experiences so you can kind of figure out where I'm from and what I'm in. That's what I'm kind of going through first myself. I was brought up Catholic, brought up raised to believe in God and all that stuff. And basically, I had experiences. I've seen objects when I was a kid. I've had missing time experiences, things that I can't explain. I had an instance where, and I talk about this a lot, where I got my friends, and, I'll be right back. I'm just going to get some beer so we can have a case of beer, 6-pack of beer, and go watch SportsCenter. That's usually what we did. And, you know, baseball and everyone knows. And I went to the little convenience store, got some beer, and came back, and what should have been a 20-minute trip ended up being 4.5 hours, and all my friends were like, man, where have you been? We're going to call the cops. What the heck's going on? I'm like, okay, I don't understand. Where have you been? I said, I got there and I came back. And going back and forth, I'm like, okay, we kind of did some jackass stuff to each other and just played games with each other. So I'm like, they're playing a prank on me. I'm going to go up to my car. My car's going to show, the clock's going to show that it was 20 minutes. And when I went out to the car, my clock showed about 4.5 hours we went by, and they're going to call the cops and wonder what's going on. And obviously, they don't really know what's going on with me. It's something that up until recently, I've kind of kept quiet, and I was on this Blog Talk Radio, and a guy that was on my last show, Chris Augustine, that does AliensToTruth.com, check it out, cool website. He gave me the courage to kind of like come out, and I think that's what more people need to do. More people need to come out and say, hey, I'm a normal human being. I'm not crazy. I'm not loony. I'm not psychotic. I'm not, you know, where's the padded room in a white coat? And really talk about their experiences. You know, it's like so many people have claimed they've seen a UFO, but if you look at that compared to how many people have actually said, hey, call the police or call, you know, that somebody or the authorities and say, hey, I've seen this object, you know, I'm scared, what the heck? You know, the ratio of people that said they've seen a UFO to the people that have actually reported it are two different things. And I guess when I was a kid, that's why I never really said anything. There was a lady that was on Unsolved Mysteries that said it best. She goes, I go to the phone to call the police because I see a strange light, and what am I going to tell them that I saw strange lights and I saw like a UFO or something? You know, they think I'm crazy. So it's one of those things that's very, you know, that I guess a lot of people don't want to be labeled loony. I mean, people look at us and kind of make fun of us. There's a guy by the name of James McGahey that's a noted skeptic, and he can take every single, and that's what's funny for me, because you can take any instance in the whole wide world. We can't, as ufologists and people that study it and look into it, we can't explain what these lights were. We can't explain what we saw here, but he can. He can explain every single solitary event that's ever happened. Roswell, he could explain it. The Shag Harbor incident, he could explain it. The Phoenix lights, he's explained it. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? Like, I saw a thing, was in January on Larry King Live, and he was on there, and these people were like, well, when I looked up in the sky at the Phoenix lights, I could see the sky completely around the object, but where the lights were, I couldn't see anything in between the lights. And he's like, well, how do you know it was one solid craft? Those were flares, and you just connected the dots, and since you saw six lights in the sky, you put them all together, or 10 lights in the sky. That's what people do. They take the 10 lights, and they put them all together, and they make one giant craft. Even though it's individual flares and individual lights, and she's like, well, then how come when I looked up into the sky when it was right over me, I couldn't see anything or any of the sky through the lights, but outside the lights, I could see the stars and everything. So, I mean, there's a lot of instances that the skeptics don't ever talk about. You know, the skeptics, like James McGahey, can, I'd love to see him try to explain away the Australian pilot Frederick Vladek that disappeared, taking a plane flight over Bass Strait from King Island to Cape Otway. He's disappeared. He's never been found to this day. His final words were, it is hovering, it is not an aircraft. Something was following him, and one of his radio transmissions was, you know, this thing is passing over me at 2 and 3 at times at speeds I can identify. And the radio controller back then goes, well, it is an aircraft, isn't it? And, you know, and he couldn't explain what it was, and some of those original transcripts were actually deleted. And we wonder why. He's been missing and it's never been found. And there's a couple of people on the National Disclosure Project that have said that, you know, that there's evidence of people that have been taken and missing, and they have not been able to be found. And one of the things I want to get into is I'm going to talk about the National Disclosure Project, and if people don't know what that is, the National Disclosure Project had a bunch of people in 2006. It was started like in 93, if I'm correct, and it had people that were very high-ranking officials that came out and said, hey, this is what happens. I have had experiences. I'm a radio traffic controller, and I have seen things that I cannot explain, and I'm willing to go into Congress and testify to what I've known. And it was started by a man by the name of Steve Greer, and there's like Charles Brown, they call him Charlie Brown. He was involved in the National Disclosure Project. There's Michael Smith, who was a U.S. air traffic radio controller, and he had numerous experiences where NORAD would call him up and say, hey, you know, we have a couple UFOs coming here. You're supposed to have planes inbound. You need to take those planes and divert them somewhere else. We don't want to have a conflict. You know, there's a guy, a senior air traffic controller from Mexico, Enrique Kolek, or Kolek, I can't even pronounce these names, it's a Mexican name. Sorry with that, but he basically said that, you know, that when he worked for the National Traffic Controlling Center at the Mexico City, you know, main airport, the international airport, he said they had on radar tons of objects and tons of things, and they and things that came close to airplanes and how they had to divert planes, and he's willing to go into Congress and talk about what he's seen. Commander Graham Bethune was in the U.S. Navy in 1951, and he witnessed many strange objects and many different things. You know, you got Captain Robert Sales, who was in the Army, I think it was, I might be wrong, but he was in the Air Force, but he was in the military from 1964 to 1971, and on March 1967, he basically was 60 feet underground taking care of nuclear missiles, warheads and stuff, and was there because that was when we had the Cold War and stuff, and many people reported an object going over the base and some of the bases in U.S. and taking out the nuclear missiles. And just like the USS FDR, it had nuclear stuff on it, and it was having people say that there was tons and tons and tons of USO activity that hovered over the USS FDR. And there's many different cases that I've studied that have people saying the same thing, that a place where it had nuclear warheads or weapons or nuclear anything, there was UFO activities. And to have 10 missiles or 12 missiles that are all set up individually so that if one goes, you still got 10 of them, or if one goes, you still got 9 of them, or whatever. If one goes, you don't lose them all, and they all end up going out for some reason. It kind of makes you wonder. And like with Project Blue Book, that's where Project Blue Book was. Those Project Blue Book stories went into basically higher up. If I saw a UFO, Project Blue Book didn't give a crap. Basically, for me, they didn't care about me. They cared about an object that was basically affecting national security, that was flying over the base and disarming missiles. That's what they were concerned about. There's a guy that I talked to that met a guy that was a missile launcher, that they were testing nuclear missiles and warheads for potential, you know, if someone tries to attack us, we can shoot them from up in space. And when they shot this nuclear missile up into space, something blew the missile to pieces. And basically, they came in and they sat there. It was Robert Jacobs that was a professor that did a test launch, and basically was like, they took him in and said, okay, here's the video, okay? And they show him the video and everything, and once it's up into space, that's the first rocket booster goes, the second one, the third one, everything goes good, then near the very end, an object comes in, and bang, 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 and the missile was destroyed and disarmed and all this, and they're like, okay, now what was that? What kind of game were you guys playing? Said, that's not us. And the next time he remembers seeing that video, that part of the video was edited. So it kind of makes you wonder. There's a lot of people who say that that kind of thing goes on. Like when you look into some of the NASA video footage with NASA, there have been images that if you were to show that image to me and say this is part of the Earth I would say, wow, I'd love to meet the creator of that, who made that, who did that, and different things. So, and knowing it's from Mars, it would have to have been man-made. Not really the joke. It would have had to have been made by something else, because, as you know, there's no other civilization, there's no other beings. We're the only possible civilization in our whole universe. So those things on Mars would have to be made by nature, which some of them are very interesting. And, I mean, there's evidence that proves that when they took the retakes of the photos of the face on Mars in the Sidonian Desert, that they fixed them up in a way to make it look like it didn't look like anything, so that, oh, here you go, yep, this is the retaken photo of the face on Mars, and it doesn't look like anything. But when they did some adjusting to the image looked like what it does, the face on Mars. And the original face on Mars, there were two different photos taken at two totally different times with two different light and camera angles, and they both showed basically the exact same object, so you know it had to be something. And, I mean, there was in NASA, there was a video that showed an object that was on live feed back in the day. They used to have live feed of the space shuttle, and this object, a light flashed, and the object that was moving from right to left, moving from, like, north to south, stopped and immediately went from east to west, and a guy studied it for many, many years, and he goes, that object was going so fast that it would have produced 100 Gs and killed a human pilot. NASA claims it was a piece of ice in the rocket booster, or one of the boosters on the ship knocked it out of course. And he goes, looking at that object, I basically would say that was too far away for it to be an ice particle. And even if it was affected by the booster, if you look at the stars, it couldn't have been a booster because the stars would have moved in relation to the image showing that the booster fired and that the space shuttle moved, that the spaceship moved, and it never did that. So, you know, and ever since then, all of the incidences involving live feeds from NASA have been shut down. So, it's just one of those things that, why all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it's been how many years since they've went to the moon and they haven't been back to the moon? Makes you wonder, why haven't they been back to the moon? So basically, I'm just going to kind of keep talking here about different things. And if anyone would like to call in, I have an earpiece in my headphone, so on my cell phone, and that's what I use. So if the quality's not the greatest, I've had some people say it's good, some people say it's bad. I'm sorry, but my call number is 1-914-338-0566 if anyone would like to call in. But basically, I'm just going to have one thing I want to talk about that's very kind of scary, which can't happen now. But Gary McKinnon was a computer person in England. And basically, he was able to hack into NASA's computers. And they're getting him to this day, and this was before September 11th, and they're getting him to this day basically saying that he hacked computers and there's all this damage to NASA computers and this and that and everything. Long story made short, he goes, I didn't hack nothing. There was no firewall. There's no secure. I just got on and was able to get onto these NASA computers. And this is years ago. This is years ago. This is before September 11th. And he is still, they're trying to extradite him because in England he'll get 6 months in England community service. But in America, he'll get 6 years in a 60 years in a federal penitentiary, and they say that, you know, for it to be an extraditable offense, it has to be over $5,000 in damage. And all he said he did was got on the computers, and when he was on the computers, he basically took the computers, and, you know, he put passwords in them and stuff, and he said, hey, you know, I can get on your computers. Da da da. This was after a long while. But he was basically hacking into NASA's computers. And one of the big things that he noticed when he was doing this was that when he got onto one of the NASA computers, they had sections of pictures that were basically retouched and untouched. And when you talk about the National Disclosure Project, there are people who came forward that said, you know, that's what I was involved in doing. My work at NASA was taking an image that was taken from space and editing out things that cannot be explained, or an object, or a UFO, or anything. And that's one of the big things that really bites my bone, because everyone thinks that when you talk about UFOs, you're talking about alien spacecraft, when what it really means is unidentified flying objects. They're not saying, you know, like when you go back to James McGahee, he can explain away every single solitary thing. That's why we call them UFOs. Because if there's a new airplane up in the sky that the government said I can't explain, that's going to be an unidentified flying object to me. It's just something that kind of really hard to talk about, because, you know, whenever you say UFO, people automatically assume you're talking unidentified flying object, you're talking aliens, you're talking little green men. And one of the whole things with the National Disclosure Project, which had famous big-time people coming out, was I believe like they do. I mean, there's truth and evidence of anti-gravity propulsion systems. You know, gravity distorts time. That's a fact. We know that to be true. And why can't, if we have this technology that can free us from fossil fuels, why not use it? Why do they cover it up? You know, I guess even if they came out tomorrow and said, okay, yep, we've been lying to you for 50 years, UFOs exist, we have aliens, da-da-da, that would still be a shock to even ufologists. Per se, just like if your dad died. Yeah, I know he's dead, but when it really hits it, yeah, he's really dead. He's really gone. He's not coming back. There is going to be that shock, I mean, when it actually settles in. And I think for the most part, that would be one of the big things. But if you believe like I do that they have technology that could free us from foreign oil and free us from energy and give us energy dependence, why not do it? It just makes you wonder. And like I said in one of my earlier shows, one of the reasons why I think they don't disclose it is because of the God versus aliens theory. Can you believe in Jesus and God and believe in aliens? Some people say, yes, you can. I'm a UFOologist and I believe in God, and I know that UFOs exist, and this made my belief in God stronger, because look at all these other life forms that have been created. But then you get someone like Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson that says, well, no, you can't believe in UFOs. That is the devil trying to keep you from God. And one of those, it's the devil. One of my good friends just got a Habitat house, and one of the guys was there, and he's like, you know, you need to confess out your mouth and believe in your heart, and you'll go to heaven. And where are you going when you die? And I go, where we go? You know, he goes, well, you say this prayer, I can get you to heaven and all this stuff. And going off of him, I'm going to hell. And I don't really argue religion or stuff like that. You know, I've been there, like Chris Augustine said on the last show that I had him on. He was like, well, you know, I've argued too many people. There's people like Brian McGahee that even if you put a UFO on the evening news with an alien being, they would find some way to say that was a fake trap, that was faked this. So it's just one of those things that I do talk about a lot of different things, and that's just how I am. I kind of, going off of who I am, I'm very adamant about the subject. I basically kind of speak about a lot of different things, and basically that's kind of my nature, you know, love me or hate me. This is not something, I guess I'm not a UFO researcher by choice. If I didn't have these experiences, I wouldn't really be here. I'm just kind of here based on what's happened to me and trying to get answers. You know, I can't explain what's happened. Like, it's not something that you can sit there and say, okay, well, you've had missing time experiences. Well, what that really was, you know, you just took pain medication or this or that, and you can basically go into a coma and you're half asleep and this and that, and you parked your car and you just slept. And, you know, I can't explain the incidences that have happened in my life, and I just try to get answers, and I guess that's why, like Bud Hopkins, that's what he does. He had instances where he saw a craft with a bunch of people, and he's trying to get answers, and I just wonder why the scientists don't explore this more thoroughly. Why don't the scientists look into it? I mean, why the UFOs don't come to the White House lawn? I don't know. That's why I guess I'm trying to get some information and try to get some info to try to figure out why. That's why I call my show Take and Why Me, The Unexplained. I guess I try to figure out things. You know, one of my other experiences I had, I was basically downstairs watching TV, and when I was watching TV, the next thing I remember is waking up in my bed, and it was morning time, and my head was where my feet usually are, my feet is where my head usually are, and I was in a different set of clothes. And looking into this, I never really had sleep, I don't sleepwalk, I've never really had any instances where, you know, I'm not an expert medically, but I would assume if you sleepwalk, you would do it more than once, you would have more than one experience. But this is the only experience I've ever had like this. I just remember watching TV and was pretty much awake, and next thing I remember is I was upstairs in my bed in a different set of clothes, and I woke up in the morning, and I don't have any recollection between the different ones of between, I just remember watching TV and then waking up and I was in a different set of clothes, and don't really have explanation for it. I've seen dots in the sky that do things that basically defy my knowledge of physics, okay? If it's a man-made American plane, it's doing something that, in my opinion, would kill a human pilot, from what I know. And basically, makes you wonder. And, you know, that's why I guess I've kind of, with my missing time experiences, and even as someone who listened to this, I've taken a lot of my experiences when I've seen a light in the sky that disappears and reappears in different spots. I've sat there and tried to seem, okay, like skeptical. I've even been skeptical. Let me see something here. What could that have been? I've even tried to explain away my instances. It's not for someone like me that, you know, I don't believe everyone's seen a UFO. I don't believe that every video is, you know, that's like when you go on, if you ever go on YouTube, there's tons of people that kind of make a mockery of it, and that's part of the problem. You know, people make fun of something, and there's great scientific stuff to be learned from this. If the government has the knowledge, like I know they do, then they can sit there and say, okay, we can get rid of stolen oil and use gravity propulsion systems. And you can get to France or England from America in a tenth of the time. Why go to, you know, like one of my friends, I met a guy that said basically, like, if you were to take your family on a vacation from America to England, if you have a boat like Christopher Columbus used, that's the technology they're using with the space shuttle to get up into space. Why don't they use the technology they know exists, the anti-gravity propulsion systems, to get us up there faster and safer? And there's one, I saw a special where a guy said basically they do that under the cover of darkness, that they do send ships up into space on a regular basis to put up satellites and other things that are not the space shuttle, that are kind of like covert black book projects. So basically, it's pretty interesting the different people I've talked to and different things that I've seen that just kind of, okay, under the cover of darkness, they use these technologies. Why don't they just bring them out and say, okay, we can get rid of foreign oil dependency if we use this? You know, why they cover it up, I just, you know, the God versus religion thing is one of the big things. You know, the fear on the public, you know, if they can't protect us, that's pretty scary. If you had to tell the public, hey, we have knowledge of UFOs, we don't know why they're here, we don't know what they're doing, but we just thought we'd let you know, for that group of people that, you know, even today, you know, that would be kind of very scary, because they would be basically saying, we can't do anything to protect you, we can't do anything to stop these things from coming, so we're just going to let you know that. I kind of believe that if they would have wanted to kill us, they would have done it a long time ago. So, basically, the National Disclosure Project, as I've been talking about with my own experiences at the same time, is just a group of people that are basically trying to, like, I feel we have the technology to go and see ourselves. We have the knowledge of UFOs. They've taken and reverse engineered the technology. Why don't they use it? Why don't they come out? Yes, and before even 1947 in Roswell, we had UFOs, but 47 was when we finally got our hands on one, and that's when we started Area 51 so we could have a place to secretly study this and reverse engineer this. Why can't we do that? Why can't they come out? What are they so afraid of? Why can't, you know, I just don't understand, and I guess I'm searching for answers and looking for anyone that will talk, and that's, I guess, the National Disclosures Project. It's famous to get anyone that's willing to talk and to come out and to speak. And they say, okay, what have you heard? I mean, I've heard military people that have told me off record that they do not deny the existence of UFOs. They actually acknowledge they exist, they just don't believe they're a threat. So it's one of those things that also, if they acknowledge UFOs, one thing with UFOs is called, there's a thing called Black Book Projects. And then Jesse Marcel Sr.'s new book, the new Roswell book that's coming out, he basically, there's someone in there that's actually looking into the Black Book Projects. You know, if you ever hear of a guy by the name of Phil Schneider, look him up on YouTube. I've never heard him ever discredited. And basically, he talks about Black Book Projects. And there's people that say that they spend between $40 and $80 billion a year on these Black Book Projects. Our country's in debt, and they're spending billions of dollars on Black Book Projects. I've talked to people that say that, okay, you have a ship with 80 million kilos of cocaine worth $70 billion. Do you think they burn all that? Nope. They funnel it underground and sell it underground and take that money and funnel that money into Black Book Projects. And that's how some of that stuff's funded. And it's just, Like the new president, whoever it is, will have to sign the document that says, okay, Area 51 is off limits. You can't disclose it. They can't talk about it. Whatever happens there, happens there. Whatever money is spent there, is spent there. And there's nothing you can do. You can't talk about it, basically. You can't sit there. And if they spend $50 million, they don't have to be accountable to taxpayers or anything. And that's, you know, if Area 51, which has finally been disclosed as of the past several years, since it's there, you need to sit there and say, okay, if they have that and they're hiding stuff there, what else are they hiding? How many millions of dollars are going into projects and stuff that you never, ever see? Like, I don't know if this is true, but I believe this, that those new airplanes that they have that are remote controlled, that fly over Iraq and stuff, and they're able to do surveying, and they're able to take videos and pictures of that with the unmanned space, unmanned airplanes. I believe that's old technology. I believe they're saying, okay, this is what we used. When a lot of the new planes come out, I believe they're like saying, this is what we had, and they're retiring the thing. Like the SR-71 Blackbird, for example, those things were planes that when they showed them, they were basically retiring. Okay, this is a 15-year-old plane. And it just makes you wonder, okay, I would have never expected to have seen something of that technology 15 years ago, but it existed. You know, and I believe that those unmanned planes that they're using in Iraq and stuff are basically old technologies. And this is what we had. Here you go. Because why would they want to sit there and show you something that they're using that's brand new? Because then you say, okay, now they need to stay steps ahead of the game. And it's just more things that I think that the government just keeps lying. There's a guy by the name of Stanton Friedman who said that, you know, that there's a lot of people that are just lying, and it's lies on top of lies on top of lies, and basically, you know, somebody's death on the line. You know, because if you sat there, and I always wondered this, what would happen if you took a bunch of people, you know, like a million people or something, and just started to walk on Area 51 and say, hey, we want to know what's going on there, we're taxpayers, screw that they have a disclosure that you can't talk about it, or they don't have to disclose how much money they spend or what they do with it. You know, it'd be neat to see what would happen if a ton of people went on that base, because I would love to know how many millions they spend. It just makes you wonder why they cover this stuff up. I mean, like, when you go, when we're talking about cover-ups, like James McGahee with Phoenix Lights, he basically said, oh, the flares, the military flares. We had incidences of lights over where I live in the Midwest, and they said it was flares. And I'm like, okay, those were not flares. I'm sorry, you know, I've seen pictures of flares. Okay, it's a populated area. Why would they drop them over a populated area? They would never drop a flare over a populated area. And he's just one of those people that I kind of feels like, okay, you're here. We're going to give you money so you can sit there as a retired military person to make people look like they're a joke or a clown. And I can't understand someone like James McGahee that sits there and says he can explain every single solitary instance, every single solitary anything. I mean, we call them unidentified flying objects because we can identify them, but obviously he can. He can say they're flares. He can say that they're some guy throwing a huge frisbee, you know? Like, excuse me, like I said before, you know, the real Project Blue Book is basically, if you said you saw a UFO, they went into the big blue book and they looked up, okay, well, you had, with Project Blue Book, you had number 16. And that was two guys trying to throw the world record frisbee that was 50-foot diameter, and that's what you saw. You know, I mean, there's people, and I've even looked at some of them, that they can't, okay, well, they say this is what it was you saw, a comet or whatever, but they could not explain it. You know, and the real cover-up things, the real national security issue things, like where the military bases had nuclear weapons that were seized, those things basically were the ones that went into the real Project Blue Book. National security issues. And like I've said many times, Area 51, you can't get near it because that is a national security threat. You can't take photos. You can't do anything Area 51 because that breaches national security. But you can go on any of the news stations on TV and they'll sit there on evening news. And my mom will even talk about this, how they show how easy it is to contaminate the food and water supply and potentially kill millions. Like my mom says, okay, why don't you just show the terrorists again how easy it is to take a plane and dismantle it or take it apart in a way that once it takes off, we won't be able to land, or, you know, why don't you just show them how easy it is to put stuff in our water supply that can't be killed, that can't be taken out, that will kill millions. Why don't you just show them how easy it is to take the lettuce and contaminate it so that people that eat lettuce will die. And why don't you just show them that just on the news, you know, that's my mom says that a lot, and I have to agree, you know, they can't take a picture of Area 51, you get within a mile of, you get within 2 miles of the sign that says no photography and stuff, and they know you're there, and you can't take photos, and you can't do anything, but then on evening news, they'll show you how easy it is to kill tons of people, but taking a photo of a mountain that's probably 15 miles from the actual base, they'll confiscate the camera, but then again, you know, because that breaches national security, but at the same time, you will sit there and talk about on the news how easy it is to kill people. And it just doesn't get me, you know. It's like, okay, how can taking a picture of part of a mountain that's so far from the actual Area 51 base be breaching national security, but sitting there and showing on the CBS Evening News how easy it is, or how easy it would be to kill tons and tons of people by contaminating tomatoes or lettuce, or it just doesn't, I don't understand. And, you know, just, I've never been to Area 51. I've known people, I've talked to people that have gone out there, and they've had planes looking at them, following them, and they were like, he goes, I can tell how we're pretty far away from the base, and they're already watching us, they already know we exist, they already know we're there. One thing I'm going to talk about now is I'm going to get into a couple USO incidences. And one of the big ones was on the USS FDR. You know, there are many people that claim that there were missiles that had nuclear warheads that were disarmed by an unidentified object. Well, FDR carried nuclear stuff, and many people claim there were lots of USO activity or unidentified submerged objects happening with the USS FDR. And Chet Brzezinski was one of them. He was a fireman and a metalworks engineer on the USS Franklin Theodore Roosevelt, basically, from July 1958 to December 1960. And he recalls an instance where they were brought up to the floor of the ship near Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, off the island of Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and they're on the deck, and they remember seeing this object that hovered for like 45 seconds, and they saw it move and do some things, and did some strange things, went into the water, it was cigar-shaped. He said it came by the ship, and they said that they could feel the heat from the craft, and he said he could see windows, couldn't really see in, but he said it basically, he got the vibe that there were UFOs or something, like unidentified aliens or something, staring back at him was the vibe he got. And because of that incident that happened, there were 25 of the men that saw it were immediately taken off the ship and transferred. And he claims that when you look into the ship's logs, the books were altered and information about that was blacked out. And there are many people who have come forth and said, you know, they saw many different things, and many different things happened via the FDR, and there were other USO incidences. And one of the big USO incidences happened in Nova Scotia, Canada, at Shag Harbor on October 4th, 1960, where several people, two of them, which are Chris Stiles and Norm Smith, saw an object that basically hovered on the ground. They saw lights that was like over the water, I call it the ground, over the water, and the object went up and did some things and went into the water. And what's very interesting about this sighting is no one said UFO. People said, okay, we saw an object crash into the water. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, some of them actually saw this incident and said, we got to do something. And they went out to search to find survivors, because that was the main thing people talked about. We need to find survivors. Something crashed in the water. And they searched till 3 a.m. And the Canadian police never found any incident of a crash, anything broken, like a plane or anything. They couldn't find anything until Monday. They searched and searched and searched. And basically, when the whole thing was reported out, they said, you know, they could say definitively it was not a boat, it was not a flare, it was not an aircraft, or any known object that we know of. And they searched for several days, and they could not find the object or anything. But several witnesses said that they saw an object, like, hovering on the water and did some things, and then came down at a 45-degree angle and went into the water. And you have police that basically saw this, too, and they were the ones that said, hey, something crashed, we need to go save the people and get survivors. They weren't thinking UFO. And that's one of the big USO instances, because I think it's very vital, because in that instance, you know, like Chris Stiles said, we weren't thinking aliens. We were thinking of a plane crash or something, a weird plane, something we didn't like. I've not seen anything like it to this day, but I still haven't seen anything like it to this day, and I haven't seen anything, and we're just thinking survivors, first and foremost. And basically, they never found anything. And okay, so what went into the ground and the water and went under the water? Who knows? I mean, they haven't really said, okay, it was aliens, it was a spacecraft, they just saw something go into the water, and if it would have crashed in the water, with technology we know, if it would have crashed in the water, well, there would be evidence of something floating on top of the surface, and there's nothing. So, I mean, it just makes you wonder, you know, why, at least the Canadian report says they can't identify it. They're not like, okay, well, that was a meteorite, and it came and disintegrated when it hit the water, you know, like the U.S. does. They have to have some sort of natural explanation for every instance that happens. Like with the lights, James McGahee can find some natural explanation for everything that's happened. And in other countries, like France, for example, recently, they took and all the UFO sightings they've had, they've opened up the books and said, here's all our information. We want to know what it is. We want to find out what's going on. We want to come out and say, hey, we have tons of people trying to find out what's going on. And you can't. You know, like on the first of, on basically at 12:30 on 1108 in San Diego, many people saw a bunch of lights, and there was a bunch of people that came the next day, and they said, oh, well, what those are is the Chinese on New Year's. They take like a little lantern kind of thing made of paper with a candle in it and light them, and then they float into the sky, and that's what you've seen. And they're Chinese candles and all this stuff. Chinese floating lanterns, as they call them. And, you know, and there's a lady by the name of Lisa Davis who said that, you know, those things were up in the sky for a while, and they moved in sync with each other. Like, if they were going up or down in the sky, if they were separate objects, this one would have moved farther away from this one and moved maybe higher up faster than this one. And, you know, it's just one of those things that people say, oh, it was floating lanterns, and it's just another one of those lame excuses that I feel that they put out there for people. You know, well, I don't believe in America they can sit there and say, we don't know what it was. People in this country at least have to have an explanation. You know, the Shag Harbor incident, we don't know what it was. It was not a flame. It was not like a flare. It was not a boat. It was not an aircraft. It was not an object that we know of. And we're the Canadian Mounted Police. But in America, they would have to say, they would have to explain it somehow. Even if the explanation did not even come close to fitting what the descriptions were, they would have to at least give that explanation. So they can at least say, we can't leave it unidentified, so we have to at least say, you know, it was a glow-in-the-dark yo-yo that someone threw into the water. You know, I mean, they'd have to at least make some bull crap explanation. And to me, I wish they would have some of these incidents that say, hey, to be really honest, we don't know what it was, we can't explain it, there you go. You know, I just wish they would do more of something that's unexplained. You know, that's kind of the National Disclosure Project, and that's one of the things that they're trying to say, okay, hey, we have a ton of these incidences that cannot be explained. We want answers. We know what the government is holding. We want to know why, and we want to have people come out and, you know, and talk about why. You know, why do they keep this under wraps? Why do they hush it up? Why is every instance explained away in some form instead of saying, okay, we don't know what it was, you know? I mean, like James McGahey, I think, is one of those people that's his sole job via the government is just to, you know, to come out there and explain every single solitary instance away, you know? And that's just hogwash to me, because, like, if you go, like, in some other incidents, like in the Falcon Lake incident with Stephen Mikulak in the 60s, when he was in Manitoba, Canada, and he saw, basically, on May 20th, an object that came down. He basically touched the thing and saw this thing and had burns that they couldn't explain. You cannot, like, you know, Mikulak, Stephen Mikulak, you cannot explain away his burns that he had. They came and go. I mean, they basically healed up and they went away. And where the burns were, they came back and he did a drawing of the craft. And where the drawing of the craft was, there were dots on the craft that coincided with, like, the buttons he personally called him when he was alive on his stomach. And to the day he died, they cannot explain what really caused him. They knew there was some sort of heat-caused burns, you know, and he cannot be explained away. But you don't really hear too much about that. I mean, when you get into Frederick Blitz, he has disappeared, and he cannot be explained away. And, you know, you never hear someone like James McGahey talk about incidences like that. I've never heard him talk about the missile silos that basically house nuclear missiles they cannot explain that away. The object going over and dismantling the missiles, and they cannot explain that away. And you never hear any naysayer really talk about those, because it's something that they cannot just easily say, well, this is what it was. Since they cannot sit there and honestly say, since they can't basically give it a definition or an explanation, they try to just cover it up. You know, Roswell was a weather balloon, and then they said, wait a minute, now they come out and say it was like a German spy plane, because there are lots of people who say, well, if you look at the picture of Jesse Marcel Sr., when he's holding the debris does not match descriptions and this and that, and they've kind of even changed, we had to keep that secret, the German thing, this and that, and it's like they've even changed their position just to try to sit there and say, okay, that now people say the weather balloon story doesn't fit, so we need to change it to a story that would make sense. And this German spy plane thing, I guess, or whatever they claim it is making sense, and it's a better explanation or excuse for what they claim happened. Since the government has to have an explanation, they can't leave something unidentified or unexplained. And they basically have to come up with some explanation. It's like Travis Walton, the mountaineer that basically disappeared in 1975 on November 5th when they were cleaning out stuff in the Apache National Forest. Excuse me. He disappeared for 5 days and they said he was murdered. They murdered him. Until he basically came 5 days later and hadn't eaten and hadn't had anything. And then they're like, okay. And then they tried to come up with all these excuses of a hoax. It's like he wasn't saying a hoax when he was disappeared. He said he murdered him. And now that he's been found, dehydrated, no food, naked on the side of a road, now you're saying it's a hoax. I just don't get it. You know, it's like, why do they have to have an explanation for every single solitary thing? It just makes me wonder. And if anyone would like to call in and just comment, the number is 914-338-0566. And basically, I'm just kind of going off and talking about all kinds of different things about unexplained phenomenon, things I've seen, things that have happened to me. I've just kind of looked into the subject based on my own experiences. And I've looked into UFOs a little bit, UFOs. I mean, there's more evidence of UFOs than there ever be of God, but people don't believe in Jesus. People believe in Jesus via blind faith, but they have to sit there at the same time to have a UFO be real. They have to have a body talking to you. They have to have a spacecraft. They have to have all that. They have to have all this stuff to believe in a UFO. But when it comes to God, blind faith is all they need. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I believe there's something out there. I've had experiences with like ghosts and spirits. And so I believe there's something out there. And what it is, I don't know, but I know something's out there. And that's one of the big things I think they just covered up. Because if you have to sit there and say, okay, well, now we know UFOs exist, where do we place God in all this? Can they coexist? You know, and that's one of the things that I think that keeps the cover-up going, because then they would have to try to, okay, now, I mean, it's bad enough people have to say, well, does that exist or doesn't exist? Now you say, okay, now we have more than one civilization that would lend more to the credence that God couldn't exist. You know, there's that DNA evidence that they came out with a while back ago that said that we were apes, then we separated and came back together as one being, then we separated for the second time, and that's when we permanently split. And there's a lot of atheists and say, well, that right there says that, you know, that when you think about it, that says that we were from apes and creation happened. Creation didn't happen, then evolution happened. I mean, I've heard people that say evolution is the only way, but then other people that say creation is the only way. And then if creation is the only way, then how do you explain dinosaurs? Because a lot of people say dinosaurs would say that evolution had to have happened in some form. But I believe that's one of the big reasons for the cover-up is because if you have to sit there and acknowledge UFOs and other beings, then you have to really put God into question. And even like Chris said from my last show, Chris Augustine from InnocentTruth.com, that the Vatican has said that believing in UFOs does not contradict your belief in God. And it's a very powerful statement coming from the Vatican. You know, to have a comment like that come out, and it just makes you think that, you know, that they know what's going on, and they're just getting ahead of the bandwagon, so that when it is come out, that we have not been alone. The governments have known for years, whether it's France or Russia or Germany, they've known for years, in years 40, 50, 60, 70 years, they've known, and hey, we're on the forefront of it, because now that they exist, we told you before, we knew before they came out with them, we already told you that yes, you can believe in both. You know, and it's one of those things that gets me, because with this cover-up, you know, the people that I've talked to that say that there's $40 and $80 billion a year spent on black budget projects, you know, we're here living paycheck to paycheck. The average person is robbing Peter to pay Paul, and here we got projects that are black book that don't have to be accounted for. They don't have to talk about them. They don't have to explain where the money comes from, anything, and they get, you know, $40 to $80 billion a year. You know, and they do all kinds of covert operations. And just makes you wonder, okay, it just fries your brain that, okay, we're living paycheck to paycheck, most people. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. The economy's going in the toilet, but they're spending $80 billion a year in black budget projects. I mean, like Roswell, they don't have to explain one dime or explain anything. They don't have to sit there. And I do have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and get him. I got 3 minutes left, and I'll get him on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. Hello? I got somebody on the air and I'm not being able to get them. You may just have to try that caller. Because I'm got you saying you're on the air, but I don't hear anything, so.
I have no idea. Good morning, this is one of. Do you get me?
I kind of hear you, but you got to speak up, hon.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you're talking to me precisely. If you could mention the username, then I know you're talking with me, and then we can take it from there.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Good morning, people. This is One Love, and I'm about bringing awareness in order to make a conscious shift in this world towards a better way of life. And I'm not sure if I'm in the right show. But thank you for taking my call anyway. I hope you guys can hear me. Host, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Pardon me?
You're very silent, but I can't hear you. I got about 2 minutes left in the show.
Okay, all right, that's fine then. We will perhaps connect another time. And do come into my show, and if anybody wants a remix of life, coaching, and awareness, I would be more than happy to take you through this.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we had a caller, and I couldn't really hear it too well, but basically, I'm got 90 seconds left on my show. I've just kind of been going over all kinds of, I've been all over the map talking about different things about UFOs and alien abductions and different things and, you know, USOs and all that. And basically, I hope if you look up, like, go on YouTube and look up the National Disclosure Project, look up Phil Schneider, all kinds of interesting stuff that I hope will make you open up your mind and sit there and say, okay, what are they hiding from me? What are they doing? And try to find out the truth. Like, it's kind of a funny, stupid thing, but if you ever watch the show X-Files, they kind of say that, you know, the truth is out there, and I know it's there, and I know they have the technology. I just don't know why they use it. Thank you for tuning into my show, and have a great day.